this evening, if you can open up to the book of Luke in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Do you appreciate the song service and the children singing tonight? What a blessing they were. As you're opening to Luke chapter number 7, let me just share this with you. I had a cousin here last week from Rome, Italy, and he works for the Department of Foreign Affairs, and he does a lot of traveling in his job, and he'd never been to Florida before, and while he was here, he said he loved it, and he'd love to come back. But he told me this. He said, "Rich, there's one place that you really should go if you have the opportunity to go, and that is to Budapest." And I said, "Budapest? Why Budapest?" And he said, "Budapest is a very nice place to visit, but it's some place that it's one of those places that it's nice to visit, but you wouldn't want to live there." Right. And he said, because there's a big problem. And the problem is with the living conditions there, in which many times you have multiple generations living under one roof. 10, 15 people maybe under one roof. And he told me about this story about a man in Budapest that went to a counselor to seek some help about how to deal with this problem. And the man complained to the counselor and said, "Life is unbearable. There are 9 of us living in one room. What can I do?" And the counselor answered, "Take your goat into the room with you." And the man refused, but the counselor insisted, "Do as I say and come back in a week." A week later, the man comes back and he looks even more distraught than before. "We can't stand it," he tells the counselor. "The goat is filthy. The goat is disgusting. Life is miserable with that goat in there." And the counselor told him this: "Go home, let the goat out, and come back in a week." So he returned to the counselor a week later, and all of a sudden, he's got a glow on his face, and he's as happy as can be. And he says, "Life is beautiful. We enjoy every minute of it now that there's no goat and only the 9 of us in the room." Sometimes we don't realize how blessed we really are until something in our life changes, do we? And then we want to go back to what we had. We want life back the way it was. But here's the solution. Why not just be thankful and content now for what we have? A roof over our head, food on the table, a job, thankful for our family, thankful for our friends. I was thinking about Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving is defined as the expression of one's gratitude for someone or for something. And that guy in the Budapest story, he was thankful. He was thankful that that goat was out of his house. But going through that experience gave him a new perspective on things and appreciate what he already had. And I think everyone has their own way, their own specific way on how they express their thankfulness. People usually express their thankfulness in the best way that they know how. Some people express their thankfulness verbally, like the goat guy, and some do it verbally just by simply saying these two words, "Thank you." Others express their thankfulness through their actions. They send a card. They give a gift. They do a deed for the person who they're thankful to. And sometimes it's a combination of words and actions. But in this very unique passage that we will see tonight in Scripture in Luke chapter number 7, the object of thankfulness in this case is not a something. It's a someone. And it's Jesus. In this passage, we have Jesus in the presence of at least two people. One is a sinner, and the other one is a religious leader. And I know what you're thinking, Pastor Rich. You're probably going to focus on the religious leader as you're talking about thankfulness. The religious leader is the one that you're going to focus on. Surely, as a religious leader, he's in touch with God. He has it all together. When Jesus comes into his house, when Jesus comes into his presence, surely he will be the one who falls down and worships Jesus. Surely he will be the one, the religious leader, that offers Jesus gifts. Surely he will be the one to express his thankfulness for the Son of God, for the Word that has become flesh. Surely he will be the one to rush to Jesus' side and attend to his needs, to serve him. Surely he is the one. but he isn't. Folks, let me say this to you. Although some may view a religious leader or maybe a pastor, let's say, as a noble and admirable and praiseworthy profession, just by the virtue of being in that position doesn't automatically or magically bring you any closer to God than it would someone else. It doesn't matter what your outward position is that you hold on this earth. What matters is what's on the inside, the state of your heart, because that's what Christ sees. That's what God sees. In this passage, you see the state of someone's heart, and you see how her thankfulness is expressed. But the wild part of this passage is that the person that is expressing her thankfulness for Jesus doesn't say one word to him. Not one word. And she didn't need to, because her actions said it all. Are you thankful for the presence of Jesus in your life tonight? If you are, can he see it? Can he see the love and appreciation and the thankfulness that you have for him? Not just the words that come out of your mouth through prayer and singing praises, but can he see it in your actions? Look with me at Luke chapter number 7, verse number 36. The Bible says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him, Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment." This passage is very similar to another one in the book of Mark, but this is a totally different passage. This is a different woman. It's a different house. Different people are involved, different actions. But in this passage, there's a woman, and the Bible says that she's a sinner. And I don't know how she got into the Pharisee's house. I don't even know how she got to the table where Jesus is eating, but she did. And the Bible says that she's weeping. And she begins to wet his feet, the Bible says, with her tears, wiping them with the hairs of her head. And then she begins to kiss his feet and then anoints them with the perfume that she brought. Would you say that this woman is thankful for Jesus? More than words can say. How is she thankful? How can we express thankfulness beyond words? Number one is through our tears. Verse number 38, it says this, "And stood at his feet behind him, weeping," behind him weeping, "and began to wash his feet with tears." When you reflect on God's goodness, when you reflect on God's grace, does it move your heart? Does the thought of what Jesus has done for you in your life bring tears to your eyes? It makes you realize how thankful that you are to him, how thankful that you are for him, as was the case with this woman. Each one of us, as I was reflecting on this passage, must begin our spiritual lives where this woman was, on her face before God. Her sorrow is obvious. She's described here as a sinner, but it's clear that she wants something to change. You know, I believe that as she's in the presence of God's Son, that she's overwhelmed with grief over her sin, and she's craving his forgiveness, and she wants a chance to start fresh, to start new. And there isn't one believer who hasn't been where this woman is, perhaps several times on their face, weeping before God. Though this is a great place to start, it isn't where we should stop. Sorrow and repentance are great, but I call them a no parking zone. And the reason why is this, is that people can get addicted to the forgiveness process. You know, it's like this. I love Mickey Mouse ice cream bars. To me, it is the best ice cream on the planet, in my opinion. You can't get them in stores. The only way that you can buy Mickey Mouse ice cream bars is at the Disney parks or on the Disney cruise ship. And let's say, hypothetically, Kathy finds me some Mickey Mouse ice cream bars on the black market. And she buys me a case of Mickey Mouse ice cream bars for Christmas. Hint, hint. Where is she? But she gives them to me. And when I open up the gift and I see the Mickey Mouse ice cream bars, and man, they are incredible. Kathy gives me a stipulation. And she says, these Mickey bars were hard to find, and I only want you to eat one of these Mickey bars a week to make them last. And week one comes and goes, and I eat two Mickey bars because they are incredible. And Kathy asks, how many Mickey bars did you eat this week? And I say, one. And I sinned. I just lied to her. My heart aches. And I tell Kathy, I'm sorry. I really ate two. I'll stick to one Mickey bar per week. And I ask her to forgive me. And then week two comes. And Kathy catches me in the act of eating a Mickey bar. And she says, how many have you eaten this week? One. And I really ate five. Because they're incredible. I just lied to her again. So when I apologize to Kathy again and ask her for her forgiveness, is she going to take me seriously?
No.
She's not. What does Kathy want to hear me apologize to her again? No. What does she want from me? Stop eating the Mickey bars. Kathy wants to see action. She wants me to stop eating those Mickey Mouse ice cream bars. You know, it's like this. It's like the criminal that robbed a bank, and he was forgiven of his crime, and he didn't have to do time in jail. And then a couple weeks later, he calls his lawyer, and the lawyer's secretary picks up the phone and says, hey, so-and-so is on the phone, and he's on the line, and he just said that he just robbed another bank, and he's been arrested, and he's in jail, and he wants your legal advice. And so the lawyer walks over and he picks up the phone and he gives him his legal advice and says, stop breaking the law! You know, in Scripture, Jesus gives his biblical advice to others after they were forgiven. I was thinking of the woman that he caught in adultery and the advice he gave her after she was forgiven. He said, go and sin no more. I was thinking of the man that was paralyzed for 38 years, couldn't use his legs for 38 years. Jesus healed him, forgave him. And then he said, pick up your bed and walk. And then he said, and sin no more. He told others the same thing and then told them to go your way. You know, it's important for us to understand that we're all broken sinners. But that's not the focus of the victorious Christian life that Jesus offers. It's not to stay in your sorrow, but it's to know when to rise up and walk. Praise the Lord that Jesus today offers Christians the forgiveness of all sins based on the blood that he shed on the cross for our sins, Ephesians 1:7. He also offers us his life that he wants to live through us today. Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But a lot of the time, understanding your sinful condition and then receiving Christ's forgiveness begins with shed tears, as was the case with this woman. One of the ways we express our thankfulness to God beyond words is through our tears. And secondly, through our service. Look at verse number 38 again. At verse 38, the Bible says, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head. You know, some of us aren't great public speakers. I'm probably one of them. Some of us aren't great preachers or teachers or evangelists or other things. But there's something that we can all do to express our love and express our thankfulness for Christ, and that's to work with our hands. God has given us all 2 hands and 10 fingers. Almost all of us, 10 fingers. And this woman used her God-given tools to serve Jesus in the most appropriate way that she could by washing his feet and wiping his feet with her hands. She also was shockingly humble. The Bible says here in verse number 38, that she stood at his feet behind him. Behind him. She's not interrupting Jesus while Jesus is talking with Simon the Pharisee. In fact, she doesn't say one word in this entire passage. She's not in Jesus' face. She's not trying to attract a lot of attention, but she's simply serving Jesus behind him in the background. Are we willing to be this humble in our service to the Lord? It's easy to get caught up in desire to be in the spotlight, to be in the limelight, to have a Pharisee type attitude of, look at me. Did you hear me pray? Did you see me give? Did you see me do this work or that good work? Serving the Lord behind the scenes is a humbling experience, because a lot of the time, no one else notices you doing it except the one that you're doing it for. We have people who serve throughout our church probably every day during the week behind the scenes. Sometimes no one sees them, but they're not doing it for publicity. They're doing it for the Lord. Amen. Colossians 3:23 says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And what's so neat about this passage at this point in time, Jesus hadn't done anything for this woman. He didn't heal her of some disease. He didn't raise her from the dead. He didn't miraculously provide her with food, with a meal, with some fish and bread. You know, at this point in time, he hadn't even forgiven her yet. Jesus was just there. He was just being who Jesus was. And she was just thankful for his presence in her life. And she showed it by serving him, by washing his feet, by wiping his feet. A third way that we can express our thankfulness beyond words is through our love and affection. Verse number 38, once again, it says, after she washed his feet with tears, after she wiped them with the hairs of her head, and then the next three words say, and she what? Kissed his feet. Kissed his feet. Love is commonly expressed with a kiss. You know, whenever in the morning, right before I leave the house, right before I walk out the door in the morning and leave for work, or if I'm leaving the house in the evening and I'm teaching a class at night, right before I leave, doesn't matter where I'm at in the house, as soon as my 7-year-old son Elijah hears that door open and hears me leaving, in case I didn't say goodbye to him before I left, I always hear him yell the same question from the top of his lungs. And it's always this question. Sometimes it is, where are you going? He says, Daddy, before you leave, can I have a kissy? All the time. And my answer is always the same to Elijah. And I say, Elijah, I don't know where he is. I say, Elijah, I tell him the same thing every time. I say, Elijah, there's always time for a kissy. There's always time for a kissy. As I was thinking about that and thinking about Elijah, you know, and then he wraps his arms around me, around my neck, and he pulls me to him, and he lays the smack on my cheek. Ooh. Forgot that was there. And he lays the smack on my cheek. But that's how Elijah shows his love and affection to me, is through a kiss. When you read this passage, do you get the idea that this woman loves Jesus? Love is commonly expressed with a kiss. And this woman is showing Jesus a lot of love. She can't stop kissing his feet. Look with me at verse number 45. In verse number 45, he's talking to Simon the Pharisee, and he says, thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Have you ever flown on an airplane and the ride's been very bumpy and very scary? Has anybody been like that before? You've been on an airplane right there? And then inevitably, if you've been on a bad airplane ride, as soon as you land and you hit the ground, someone will get off the plane. And as soon as they get off the plane, what do? They walk over to the ground and they give the ground a what? They give the ground the kiss. Why do they do that? Because they are thankful to be on ground. They're thankful to be on the ground. And as I was thinking about this woman led a sinful life. This woman led a scary life. And now she is dropping down to the ground and she kisses the feet of Jesus, the one who she's thankful for. And one last way that we can express our thankfulness beyond words is through our gift giving. Now, I want you to get the picture. The table is all set in this Pharisee's house. All the guests have arrived. Jesus is there. Simon the Pharisee is there. The other guests are there. And Jesus and Simon are talking. And then there comes in this woman. She comes in the door. And like I said before, I don't think she was an invited guest. But nevertheless, she didn't come in empty-handed. She's got a gift with her. And this gift is not for the host of the dinner, but this gift is for the guest of honor. This gift is for Jesus. Look with me at verse number 37. At the end of verse 37, near the very end of the verse, it says, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. This box that they're speaking about here was made of a lovely stone known as alabaster, which is still used today over in the Middle East. And originally it was intended as a vessel to be used in which you could put perfume or put ointment in. And we learn in the very next verse what she does with this alabaster box of ointment. Look with me at verse number 38. At the end of the verse, it says, after she wet his feet with her tears, after she wiped them with the hairs of her head, after she kissed his feet, it says, and anointed them with the ointment. To this woman, Jesus is the greatest thing in her life. Just like we sang, Jesus is more precious to her than silver. He's more costly to her than gold. He's more beautiful to her than diamonds. You get the picture that this woman values Jesus Christ more than anything she owns, more than anyone she knows. She doesn't care about the cost of the perfume. All you can see here is just her love for Jesus as she pours that perfume out on his feet. So when we talk about expressing our thankfulness through gift giving, the question is not what are you going to do with what you don't have. The question is what are you going to do with what you do have? And this lady showed us an example of what you could do with what you do have for Jesus. I don't know what knowledge this woman had of the Bible. I don't know what knowledge this woman had of the Old Testament. I don't know what knowledge this woman had of the Messiah or the promises that were foretold. I have no idea. The Bible doesn't say. But I do know this. I know that God has given us the greatest of all gifts, and that's his son, Jesus Christ. And this woman was thankful for him. This woman was thankful to him. And this woman expressed it in more than words could say, through her tears, through her service, through her love and affection, and through her gift giving. Jesus himself was so impacted by what this woman did. No wonder Jesus was impressed by this woman's actions. No wonder Jesus said what he did here in verse number 44. Jesus is talking to Simon the Pharisee. Verse 44 says, and he turned to the woman and he said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? Verse 50, and he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go. 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 Don't stay in your sorrow, but go in peace. Go in peace. She didn't say one word to Jesus in this whole passage. Not one word. And she didn't need to, because her actions said it all. And Jesus' response to her actions, because of her tears, because of her service, because of her love and affection, because of her gift giving, Jesus' response was this: this woman loveth much. This woman loveth much. You know, that challenges me, people. That speaks to my heart. I want to tell you, as I was preparing this message, I had to stop and say, Lord, am I willing to show you the love that this woman showed you? Jesus commends this woman and says, she loved me much. She was so thankful for the presence of Jesus in her life, even before he did anything for her. But today, he's done so much for us. The Bible says that he's died on the cross for the penalty of our sins. He's conquered death and given us everlasting life. This woman had nothing, and she gave him everything just for being in her life. Are you thankful for Jesus tonight? In this passage, we see Jesus. He models acceptance by allowing this woman to touch him, allowing this woman to kiss him, risking the judgment of everybody that's there watching him allow a sinner to do this to him, risking the judgment of word spreading to other people outside of the house. Did you see what Jesus did? Jesus modeled acceptance. Jesus modeled forgiveness. Your sins are forgiven. And Jesus modeled patience. He was patient with this woman the whole time. He's having this conversation with Simon the Pharisee. She's washing. She's wiping. She's kissing. She's anointing. He's patient with her. He's even patient with Simon the Pharisee through this whole process, teaching him a lesson of love, teaching him a lesson of forgiveness in the process. And just like that silly story I told you at the beginning about the man and the goat earlier, Jesus here is trying to get the Pharisee to see things from a whole new perspective of what he should have been doing to express his love and thankfulness for Jesus. Jesus was showing mercy, forgiveness, and acceptance to the sinful woman who wanted it, and to the Pharisee. And to the Pharisee who didn't think he needed it. This Thanksgiving, let's be thankful. Let's thank Jesus and express it to him in more than words can say. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you so much for this example that you put in Scripture for us. Lord, of this sinful woman, and Lord, how you just simply accepted her. Lord, you forgave her. You were patient with her. And Lord, what a testimony that this woman is to us, and how she expressed her thankfulness to you. You had not even done anything for her yet, but she was just thankful that you were there, just in her life and in her presence. And Lord, she just poured out her heart to you in thanks. Lord, I just pray that you would be able to see our thankfulness expressed, not just through our words, but Lord, through our actions, through our lives. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.